Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke. If you would, the book of Luke, chapter 11. Let us stand together as we read from Luke 11, beginning at verse 37 down through verse 44. And in your mind's eye, see Jesus talking. And a man will be approaching him. We will find out that he is a Pharisee, or as the word Pharisee means, one of the separated ones. And he is going to request that Jesus come dine with him. But if you would, verse 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees! For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the love that Jesus Christ has shown us, and that salvation is of and only through Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we be grateful that we have this knowledge. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the opportunity to give back as you've given unto us. Lord, we pray for the eternal souls of each one that are here today. And if there is one today that doesn't know thee as Savior, we pray that they would come to know thee today. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 37, and as he spake. I've asked you to think about this in your mind's eye. Ponder what is happening here. Jesus has been speaking about a candle's light and how you don't hide it. The sign of Jonah and how that as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, Jesus himself would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And then he also talked about the worthlessness of self-reformation, how important it is that if we want to change and choose to do right, we need the support and help of an almighty God. And how important it is that we have Christ in our lives. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee comes along, and he invites Jesus to dinner. Now, you have to wonder why he invites Jesus to dinner. Because the Pharisees mostly disliked Christ. For Christ talked about love and mercy. The Pharisees loved to beat people up with their traditions. And a certain Pharisee invites him to dinner, and Jesus went with him to eat. Now, we know this, that they didn't have hot dogs, at least not those that were pork. We wonder what he did have. But he's going to invite Jesus Christ to come over and to eat. We've made a mention of the fact that on Memorial Day weekend, on that Sunday evening, we'll have the service at our house. We are inviting you to come. We'll plan to have the grill working, and we'll have something to grill, and we'll have food, and we'll enjoy fellowship. It's good to sit down and break bread, especially with fellow believers. But he was a certain Pharisee. Now, we're not sure which Pharisee he was, but he was a Pharisee. And a Pharisee is a member of a Jewish sect which operated following the exile into Babylon, and mainly till the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They were noted for strict observance of rites and ceremonies of the written Mosaic law, and for insistence on the validity of their own oral traditions concerning the law. And they had all kinds of things that they had added, such as you could not do work on the Sabbath, so you couldn't plow. Well, they added to that, you couldn't move a chair outside because you might leave grooves in the ground, which would be like plowing a field. And so they added to the law these traditions. Schofield writes, the so-called oral law alleged to have been handed down from Moses, but really it was a traditional interpretation of the written law. They added things so that they then could try to control people. Notice verse 38. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. You know, how many times have you read of some surveyor where people have gone into restrooms at airports or different places to see how many people wash their hands after using the facilities? And they said that you would be amazed at how many people don't wash their hands. Well, I'm not going to tell you that if you don't wash your hands after using the facilities, you're going to die and go to hell. But the Pharisee said you couldn't eat if you didn't wash your hands. They wanted to tell you, you needed to make sure that the outside was clean. And verse 38 says, and when the Pharisee saw it, he had been watching Christ. He had been watching Jesus. I believe the Pharisee wanted to find fault with Jesus. He saw what? That he had not first washed. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but how many of you think that Jesus knew he was being watched and purposely did not wash his hands? I think that. It says that he had not first washed. Mark 7:3 says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding to the tradition of the elders. Traditions. Zondervan's Bible Dictionary says this about traditions. The most common use of the word tradition is the kind handed down by the Jewish fathers or elders, which constituted the oral law, regarded by many of the Jews as of equal authority with the revealed law of Moses. Indeed, the Pharisees tended to make these traditions of even greater authority than the scriptures. You know, we have that today where people have added to the scriptures and they have said, this is important because someone at some top position said, this is what you have to do. Matthew 15:1-2. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat. Then Jesus responds, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? If traditions go against the word of God, then the word of God must be obeyed. And here we find that Jesus responds to these allegations. You know, there are traditions that we hold today in America that are unscriptural. You say, well, Pastor Paul, name two. I thought you'd never ask. It happens every Christmas. We have Christmas cards that show the wise men at the manger. And the wise men were not at the manger. We see a star shining above the manger. We don't find that in Scripture. The wise men followed the star, and that could have been as much as 2 years after the birth of Christ. But it has become traditional. Traditional. How about this one? The name Easter is a survival of the old Teutonic mythology. The Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring was named Estra with an E, or Ostra with an O, and the month we call April was sacred to her. She was the goddess of light and spring and new life. The Easter Bunny is a symbol of fertility and has to do there. And yet we have the Easter Bunny as part of traditional Easter services. Yeah, we bring in tradition and say this is fact, when in reality, it is not. Verse 39 here in Luke 11, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter. Uh-oh, the Pharisee had stepped in it now. Jesus is going to let him have it. How dare you fuss at the Son of God. And here we have Jesus saying, you clean the outside of the cup, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. The outward appearance versus the inward reality. What are you like on the inside? Yes, we can make ourselves look good on the outside. We can put on a nice suit and a tie and come all dressed up looking really good, and everybody's going to think, wow, he's really spiritual. I mean, he even carries his Bible into church. But that doesn't mean anything if on the outside or on the inside you're grumbling. You're thinking, why do I have to be there? That Pastor Paul talks too long. You know, it'd be all right if we sang another four songs and he just spoke for 5 minutes. I probably could handle that. And then he has that offering, every service, that offering. Oh, I can't believe it. And can you believe it now? He's asked me to come out on Thursday and do some work at the church building. And we have people gripe and grumble. See, the outside, you know, their smiles and they look happy. But what's happening on the inside? Now, I may not know what's happening on the inside, but folks, there is someone that does know what's happening on the inside. He knows your intent, and he knows your purpose. Ravening means to devour greedily, to plunder, to ravage. And wickedness, of course, is something that is corrupt, that is mean. And in this case, oftentimes these Pharisees use their religion as a battering ram. Folks, we need to make sure that we're right with God, but each and every one of you has to make that decision. You have to decide if you're going to live a right and proper life. Choose to do right. Got a phone call last night about 11 o'clock. It's never good when you get a phone call at 11 o'clock. One of the members of our church says, we've got problems. He says, I don't know what to do. I said, don't do anything rash. You know, we live in a world that is being pulled apart by television. Now you say, well, Pastor Paul, is all television wrong? No, not all television's wrong. But you better be careful what you're letting your kids watch. You better be careful what you're watching. May I say this? We live in a society that thinks they invented sex. They think that sensuality is what it's all about. We have taught our girls that your every clothing should be to attract guys to look at you. May I say this to you that are unmarried females? You should be making sure that you are right and proper for your future husband. I am sick and tired of females believing that they need to be looked at by every guy around. And then I'm tired of every single guy looking at females trying to undress them. We live in a world that's full of pornography. We live in a world where there are television programs that would not have been allowed on television 60 years ago. It would not even have been thought of. And yet today, we think it's just common stuff. I tell you what you should do. Go a month without television. You say, Pastor Paul, that is impossible. Go a month without television. Then turn it back on and look at it. And you'll say, oh. See, we become brainwashed into thinking this is what is needed. Television, folks, may have its good points, but don't become addicted to it. Don't let it rule your lives. Wickedness is out there. And the problem is we have begun to call good evil and evil good. Did I ask you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 23? If I did not, I do ask you now. Here we find Matthew's version of this incident. Matthew 23, verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. If you would, over to verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, someone has said, well, Pastor, you're too hard. You fuss too much. Jesus Christ called them hypocrites. Can you imagine me standing up here and calling you hypocrites? Jesus was right there in their face telling them that on the outside you look okay, but on the inside you're wrong. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within ye are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Jesus told them that though they had religion, they did not understand the love of God. Verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. We are instructed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Did you know that? The book of Psalms 122, 6a tells us we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Have you ever noticed that the three middle letters of the word Jerusalem is USA? Have you ever noticed that? And may I say this, there can be no peace in Jerusalem, nor peace in the United States, outside of Jesus the Messiah. There can only be peace in our society when we are a God-honoring, God-loving society. The blessings on our land are when we preach the gospel. But do you realize that it also says in Psalm 122, it says, "They shall prosper that love thee." Do you want prosperity and blessings in America? Then you better tell our present administration they had better be the friends of Israel. God said, "I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curseth thee." Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often I would have gathered thy children together." Jesus wants us to come to him. And yet there are so many other things that are pulling us away. We have people today that are going to entertain their children right into hell. They're going to give them everything imaginable, but they have forgotten to give them Christ. And how important it is. We sing a song that goes, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I'd like to read to you in conclusion five verses from the Word of God. Listen carefully. Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." As a young boy, my mother one summer decided to have us learn some memory verses from the Bible, and one was from Mark 8:36. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then we find in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Our Lord's desire is that we turn our lives to him by repenting, asking for forgiveness, and asking him to be our Savior. Shall we stand together? The song of invitation, 375, "Just As I Am." Maybe this morning you need to come to the altar and get things right with God. And don't say, "Well, if I go forward, they're going to think I'm a sinner." Folks, you are a sinner. And you need to make sure you get things right with God. And if you can't do it in the house of God, where are you going to do it? So if you need to come forward and pray and get things right, do so. If you want someone to pray with you, let us know. We'll be glad to have someone pray with you and share with you from the Word of God. But 375 we'll sing in just a moment. But shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you look beyond our sin and desire to be our Savior. But Lord, we know this, that it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift, and we must be willing to accept it. We ask, Lord, now you would bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.